surveys through the barn.
Yeah, yeah.
Morning, kinda ask you a question. What if, what would you think the answer would be if they would send out all the surrounding churches around here to the pastors and ask them, what is God doing in your congregation?
What God is doing, what?
In your congregation.
Oh, okay.
What is Lord doing in your congregation? You know, that's a pretty big question.
That is.
Well, we're gonna see the answer to that here, or an answer to that. I think it's the first answer, you know, well, first or second. Take a poll in line there, but, you know, Miss Mary, she asked me a couple weeks ago, hey, look in the Colossians. And, so anyway, I got to looking in the stadium on this, and I noticed the first chapter here, that is a deep. I mean, it just goes from, Paul gets real deep, just real quick. And if you want to turn there, Colossians, we'll start chapter one. And we'll read a little bit here.
Colossians 1.
1:1.
1:1.
It's an awesome book.
It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. Now, Paul's getting a report here. He's hearing this. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, wherefore ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. You know, we talked about the truth this morning, you know, the truth and the gospel, which is coming to you as it is in all the world. And it brings forth fruit. That word is going, if you let that word come to your life, you're going to be fruit. And it doth also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As you have learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is your faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. But I want to talk about Epaphras here, or I won't call him Pat. You know, that's kind of simple nickname here for him. But old Pappy, you know, think about it. Paul and Timothy go to him and ask him, now, what's happening there at Colossae, the church at Colossae? And he tells them, he says, the love of God is being, you know, given in the Spirit or through the Spirit. And what does Paul, did Paul get on to him for not being in the second stage of the building program or anything like that? you know, God commends him for what he's doing.
Yes.
In the church, building them up in love. And what's Paul called? Paul calls him a faithful brother of God. For what?
Yes.
Church up in love. You know, I thank the pastor. You know, we've heard him say from the pulpit so many times that it's his desire to have what? A loving church.
Yep.
With the gifts of the Spirit. More or less, isn't that what that man just said right there?
Yep.
What was happening there in Colossae. So, we want to remember, you know, the faithful brother, and that's what they do. Build the church up in love. Build the church up in love.
Oh, that's good, Dave.
And you know, Sister Mary, you've been talking on love. I mean, you cannot talk love unless, I mean, you're going, it's there, you know, that's who God is.
Uh-huh.
So that's what we want to be built up in. Grow up, mature in love. You know, that's the gospel. That's what Paul said the gospel is. And he goes on to speak, we'll get into that next week, I don't think it's too much time here. But, you know, the death of this thing, and he takes it all back to the cross. The work of the cross.
Yes, sir.
I mean, he talks about loving, and he takes it all back there. And you know, that's what the gospel's all about, isn't it? Amen, amen. Brother Charles, I might ask you to pray, if you get thirsty, come on.
Father, you said in your words, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, we thank you for ordering these footsteps on these teachers here daily. Father, bless them in a mighty way each time that they stand before us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Come on, brother.
But there's God.
Good morning, everyone, again.
You know, the Lord is moving mightily by the Holy Spirit. Earlier, we mentioned something about revelation, when the Lord fill in the blanks for you. And that's a very important part of your life, to hear from the Lord, to hear what he has to say, because he's always in motion. It's so important for people to go in his presence and learn from him and to hear what he has to say, the things that he will share with us. The word will coach you into what to do, and the Holy Spirit will cause you to, you know, as you draw near to him, he can talk to you personally. Everybody that believes on Jesus Christ can hear from him. And this is a standard from the beginning. Among his prophets, they would say continually, the word of the Lord came to me saying, when the Lord do this for you, whatever he bring to your attention, he, you know, as you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. When he does that for you, he's thought of everything. Now, we see things in a fraction. Everything that we see around us, that's a fraction of information. The Lord sees what's ahead of you, what's behind you, in every direction. He even sees past the vanishing point. You know, if you're driving down the road, you can only see so far before the curvature of the world take over. You can't see what's beyond the vanishing point, but God can. And he can prepare you for the future. If the Lord ever brings something to you, it's well evaluated. Don't let it drop. Do it. You use in his wisdom. He knows more. He can, you know, he has access to more knowledge than we do. And when you, anytime you act on the knowledge that he presents to you, anything, whether it's the word or the written word or the spirit, when that whatever he reveals to you to do, when you do it, you're acting on his knowledge and wisdom. And it'll make the difference. He can never underestimate what he can do in your life. He can take you, the words that he give you, and it'll be a blessing to others, or the understanding that he give can help coach you in life. In life, you're going to make so many decisions. Everybody makes decisions. Everybody gives advice. They're persuaded by something. But when you're receiving the knowledge of God continually, and people have needs, you'll give them the knowledge and wisdom of God. That'll be the advice you'll give them. The word that you receive, you'll have faith for it. And over time, when time comes up, when opportunities arise, and people ask you advice, or they're about to make a major decision, and the Lord has prepared you with words that can make the difference for them. It can be for your children, your friends, your family. And people don't know it, but in the course of time, you're going to give advice. You're going to give suggestions. You're going to persuade people. Everybody's influence is very persuasive, not just a little bit. Everybody, there's somebody that look up to you, and your words is gold to them. So when, and the Lord thinks of, these are things that I learned is, you know, from just dealing with the Lord as he give me his wisdom and knowledge. it's so well thought out. And then at those times, you don't understand. Why is he going this route? Why is it this way? But act on the knowledge you have. The time will come, you're going to be glad you did it. You're going to rejoice over it. Lord, I didn't see that when I did that, but I'm glad. The day will come, you'll see what God was getting at. But some things you're going to have to do because you trust him. And that's the only way it'll work. And following God, these are the dynamics of following God. When he give you something, you trust it and you do it. In Ezekiel, a few weeks ago, the Lord had me sharing about how they wore garments that didn't cause sweat. And this is very important. This was very important because they weren't working. Everything that they would do would be revealed. The work of the ministry would be revealed to them. They didn't produce it. When they represented the people to God and they went before the people to minister to them, they didn't produce what they were giving to people. God gave it to them. And that's how ministry is supposed to be. They wore garments that didn't cause sweat. They received revelation and they related. That's the easiest part of ministry, because you're not giving them your information, you're giving them God's information. And it's tailor-made. It's like giving a man a tailor-made jacket. It'll fit him perfectly. When the Lord gives you a word, it'll fit the person's life perfectly. When that's out of place, things remain out of place. But when people are steadily receiving revelation from the Lord, they're on a greater path of knowing him. And their lives will be stronger. People are teaching things that, you know, a soothsayer just soothes things over. You know, they take your life and they give you a reason for all the trouble you have. And, well, God is doing this. It's a lie. God is trying to teach you something. That's a lie. The Lord teaches us by his word, not trouble. When we get in trouble, go to the Lord and ask him all your concerns and questions and receive what he has to say, and you'll kill the trouble. He don't give us. Jesus said, if you ask for an egg, he don't give you a serpent. You know, if you ask for healing, he's not going to give you a disease. He's going to heal you. The enemy will try to interfere with, just like with the promised land. He tried to interfere with what God was doing in their life. He didn't want the will of God in their life. He didn't want them to know God on the level they were about to understand it. So he used interference. He used the Canaanites, and he used the people of the land and the lack of knowledge they had. He always uses lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge is a weapon of Satan. The only way to kill lack of knowledge is to get to know the Lord. And you won't lack knowledge anymore. You will lack knowledge in things you're not experienced with, but that's not a problem. If you can go to the Lord and get an answer, you can kill any lack of knowledge that you have to, and you'll go forward. Just like a bulldozer clearing out the wilderness so they can build a building. You know, they do so much, they build whatever they need to build, and when they need something else, they clear out some more. If you know the Lord, you can do that. You can do the same thing. So what Jesus did for us, he gave us salvation. We preach his word, we receive it. We can't work for salvation. We don't have to use not one drop of our sweat for our salvation. The warfare. We have to fight, but we still fight spiritually. Henry Gruber said, keep it supernatural. Don't go natural. Now, when things make me, you know, when people do things and it can irritate you, fight, but keep it supernatural. Don't go natural. Natural is knives and guns and weapons and words. in people's face with fists and brass knuckles. That's natural. Bombs and grenades and tanks. That's natural. But the weapons of our warfare are supernatural. It can go beyond our limitations. You don't have to be in the middle of the warfare to fight. You can arrest the enemy from wherever you are.
Amen.
When the gun, you know, when I lived in that neighborhood, there were gunfights. I said, Satan, you can't kill anybody, you can't hurt anybody, and it always worked. Not just once or twice. It was a lifestyle. I had to always do this. So people would live. Before I would go to sleep on a Saturday night, I would protect the neighborhood. I would speak words over the neighborhood. Keep it supernatural. It works. I had listened to those tapes by Kenneth Hagin for 30 days. I had to return them, you know. So while it got them, when the word gets in your heart, you can speak it by faith at your will. I didn't sweat. In my warfare, I didn't sweat. I just said words, and then I went to sleep. Nobody ever got killed. Out of 6 years, nobody got hurt. Nobody got killed. When out the weapons of our warfare, they are mighty. They can pull down strongholds. They can stop the enemy. Even on the other side of the world, this is the power of receiving what God has to say. You don't have to be offended. When Jesus said offenses will come, but you can forgive the offense. Mm-hmm. You're not in trouble. You're washed in the blood. You're healed by Jesus. Anything you need, God has. You can win every battle that comes your way supernaturally. So whatever God give you to do, protect it. Don't let it die. Don't let it drop. Keep it in the form God gave. Do the format that God gave. That's what's going to work. If he brought it to you, he thought of everything before he brought it to you. Every person that he gives something, he gives people when he gives an assignment, he always chooses the best person available for it. So whatever comes to you, it's well thought out. You fit that assignment. It may not look like what other people are doing, but you fit. He gave you the personality, the creative ability for it. You'll have to use your authority. You'll have to use your wisdom, the knowledge God has given you, the revelation that God. The revelation knowledge of God is your weapon against the world. As you receive his knowledge and revelation, you have appetite, just like Pastor taught about. You have appetite for the things of God. You have appetite to go forward. You want more and more. You're on fire. Fire wants more and more. Burn. You want more and more. That's your heritage. You are a weapon. Whatever God does, God divides the light from the darkness. When we first met him in Genesis, he chose the day and he rejected the night. He saw that the light was good. He chose it. And the light expelled the darkness. The word of God does the same thing. It's a two-edged sword. It divides light from darkness. Even down to you, your spirit and your soul. It divides the light from darkness. Also, when you continually choose the light, you burn greater. You want more. Fire wants more. You're going to cover more territory. You're going to burn for God. You're going to turn the things around you. Your persuasion gets stronger and stronger. Never underestimate how much you persuade people. The glory on your life attracts people, the right people. And it also, in turn, repels the wrong people. The wrong people will leave you. Then they can't be comfortable. If a person, if they start loving sin somewhere, if they start loving the world somewhere, their love for the world will start eroding or attacking their appetite for the things of God to the point that they want nothing to do with God. Over time, this will happen if they don't stop the pattern of sin. You know, when people start, that's why the enemy has tried to get so many men into pornography. It causes a distaste for the love of God. It's a form of idol worship. And it takes away the, you know, when we choose life and we reject the darkness, that's the only way it's going to work. Modern preaching now, they try to present you with the best of what God has to say without dealing with the things that will kill you. You have to deal with the sinful thing. You have to, you can't just come to the light. You have to drive out the darkness. That's why he made two trees. You choose the tree of life and you reject the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it represents everything you got to reject. There are things that people have to reject. If you don't reject it, it will pull you back into the world. The day you eat off this tree, you should surely die. There's death in it. A distaste for the things of God is in it. A love for the world is in it. And you can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate one. But with the revelation, everything that the Lord say, you wonder why he said it. The time will come that you'll see why he said it, and you'll be glad that you went the route of God. Every time I learn something from him, I wonder about it when I don't know, when I'm first getting introduced to it. But I learn, if you stick with what God show you, you're going to love it. Learning comes in stages. We receive the written word. We receive it in our heart, but we have faith for it. We apply it in life. Now you're going to learn more from applying it. When I first heard the tapes of Kenneth Hagin about authority, I didn't know what I was capable of until that word got in my heart. Then when the gunfights happened, it was there. I was able to believe that nobody would die. And I just took authority. Any Christian can do it. A child can do it. Anybody that received God's word can do the thing, can do what Jesus did. It's not limited to how young you are or how old you are. But the things that God is giving, every element, he thought about it well. And it's going to serve a greater purpose. And it always will. It's timeless. It will always ever increase. But the Lord had to teach the... some people stayed on track. Some people didn't. The sons of Zadok, they stayed on track. They were the priests that stuck with the things of God. When they had wicked kings, they didn't serve idol gods like the golden calf Jeroboam set up. They stuck with God. They stuck with the word of God. And they were exalted because they stuck with what God said. They chose the light and rejected the darkness. When people don't reject darkness, it will invade their life and cause the lower things to happen. Even sometimes all the enemy wants is stagnation. If he can get people in a neutral, lukewarm state, he got them. They can't fight that way out. They won't have appetite. Even if they hear the word, they won't have appetite for it. And they won't. You run into this all the time. Christian people, you tell them the things that the Lord said. It's a fresh revelation. They have no appetite for it. That kind of illusion is an attack from the enemy. But when you're around people and they give fresh revelation, you want more, because that's a fire. Everybody can do this. And when people are on board with God, they receive revelation. David can receive revelation I never asked for. Charles can receive revelation I never think about. And it all, so it is with all of us. Sometimes Nick say things, man, it make you go study. It's important. We're very necessary. Every soul. You are washed in the blood of Jesus. You are a creation. You are his child. You have words to speak. God didn't put a limit on what you can do. He's ready to give you more and more. He's ready to give assignments. But you have to protect them. The assignments will come. And as they do, it doesn't have to be big. Whatever God give you, make it happen. Don't let it drop. Because you're part of the body. And so I believe that every person can receive a revelation that nobody else will receive. And if we operate, if Jesus is the head and he give us revelation, we can do the greater works that's necessary. And you don't have to depend on how big it is. When you put something in the Lord's hands, he can do great things with it. The more we put in his hands, the more we love each other, the more we love people. That can go along. It goes beyond our sight. We can't see past the vanishing point, but God does. He knows what he can do. When the right word gets to the right soul, the right person, it ever develops. People have spoken things to me and forgot about it, and I'm still on it because God knew that I needed to hear that, and he used vessels to do it. That was something I needed along the way. You know, when it comes to authority, I remember a guy named Earl Evans. He was preaching. He said, even a weak child of God can stop Satan. Now, when he said that, that was an outstanding word. But when I felt weak, I remembered it and acted on it. And it got me over the bridge. I continued at my weakest moments. I remembered that word.
Come on now.
And it helped me survive. When I was in my survival stages, that was a time in my life I was just surviving, barely surviving. I was surviving. I was living in survival mode, and I didn't like it. And I didn't like living in survival mode. I wanted to thrive in life, but I had to survive. And I said, Lord, how long does this go on? How long should I fight? He said, fight till you win. And live in victory. And that became my new vision. I said, I'm going to do this. Every time I said, I'm going to do this, I did it. We live in his strength, not ours. If you're sweating, you're working. If you're sweating, you're working. You're working. You're trying to figure it out. You're worrying.
Come on now.
That's sweating. Don't worry about anything. But I didn't know this when I was in my survival stage. I worried. I was aggravated. But I kept persisting until I had to learn not to worry. Reverend Rice helped me with worry when I first got saved. He said, you don't have to worry. I remembered that word. And it helped me in the darkest hours. But I was still in survival mode. And I said, Lord, how long do I fight? This is just aggravating. He said, fight till you win and live in victory. I said, Lord, teach me how to win. Teach me how to get to the point where this don't bother me, that don't bother me. I'm strong as I need to be, and I can still be a blessing to your people. And he did it. But what made the difference is continual revelation. When we receive that revelation, everything that's a challenge, the biggest challenge, attack the biggest challenge. Uh-huh. If it's walking in love, Mary was talking about walking in love, did a beautiful job about walking in love. If that's a weak spot, attack that weak spot. I said, Lord, teach me how to love everybody. And I went out, you know how a game hunter, you know, the big game hunters, they go and hunt tigers and lions and things like that. And they got a gun as long as this table. And they go to the safari and they just as wild as the tiger. That's how I went out in life, ready to love people.
All right, then.